Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, February the 21st, 52nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Eureka City Schools Superintendent Fred Van Vleck. Hey, guy.
How are you?
Well, I'm working. How are you?
Well, I'm enjoying some time off right now, actually. So a little bit of a hybrid of work and not work this week for me. So it's been kind of nice.
I would imagine you could probably get about two times as much stuff done this week if you popped in for a little bit of time.
It is nice. The district office is rather dead. There's a few people over there working this week and doing a fine job of keeping the district running.
With everything closed.
Yes. But you remember, everybody still expects their paycheck at the end of the month. Everyone expects to be paid on time. All the accounts receivable, all of our buildings still need to be maintained. You know, if we have a leak, it can happen on vacation, too.
Nah.
I wish, yeah.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about negotiations. It's something that a lot of us have never been involved with. We hear about it periodically. We see some things every once in a while. But as far as the actual process itself, we'll step back and try to stay away from a specific bargaining unit. But what is the process of negotiating? We'll find out when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Fred Van Vleck. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, you want? Okay, here's a good one. Jorge Luis Borges. Quote, you can't measure time in days the way you can measure money in dollars, because every day is different.
I could buy that.
That's almost a currency reference, isn't it?
Yep.
Almost. What is the biggest surprise you had the first time you were involved, either directly or sitting on the side, with a labor negotiation?
Well, if you go back a little bit in history for me, it's interesting. I've actually negotiated on both sides of the table. When I was a teacher, I negotiated for the teachers. And then the following year, I got promoted in, it was a small school district, only 800 kids, high school district, and I got promoted to be the assistant principal. And when you have a small school district like that, you do many different things. And I still remember the superintendent coming to me and said, and she said to me, well, last year you were sitting on that side of the table, this year you're going to sit on our side of the table. So that was a little bit of a reality check for me. So that was rather interesting, so to say the least.
Biggest misperception or false idea about labor negotiations?
That you could just go in there and get it done in just a couple of minutes and have a handshake and walk away from the table. Labor negotiations get very complex. And what gets really complex about it is a lot of the language. It's not just money that you're sitting down and negotiating. It all has to do, the main things that are negotiated are salary and benefits and working conditions. And when you start throwing in the working conditions piece with that, you end up with a contract. And when you end up with a contract, you start talking about things like teacher hours, leaves, transfer and assignment, and the list goes on. There's just many things that affect working assignment and working conditions that are all subject to negotiation.
Now, Eureka City Schools, how many employees or per unit?
Per unit, we have roughly 180 teachers and about 220 or so classified members.
So you're comfortably over that 50.
Yes.
Magic threshold point. Anybody who's involved either in HR or in business knows at 50, things come into play. You know, maternity leave, family leave,
Family Medical Leave Act from the Clinton
era. How do you handle some of the changes? I mean, the one that we saw that came across doesn't, and I guess it impacts everybody, is you have to have a room set aside for mothers if they choose to breastfeed on the work site. Okay. I mean, things like that that I don't think the regular guy or gal know about or doesn't pertain to their work site. How do you make those accommodations on the fly as you're getting the pressures coming down? You've got negotiations going on, but then you got labor law changes that maybe that isn't even a negotiated thing, but by golly, you have to make allowances for it, and it kind of gets forced into the equation.
One of the things that I'd say is the most difficult about labor negotiations in the contract is exactly what you're talking about, changing labor laws. We, in fact, have a contract, some sections of the contract, when you look at both of our units, we have CSEA, California, or excuse me, classified, I can't even say what it stands for.
Classified
folks.
Teachers are the other, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then we have ETA, which is Eureka Teachers Association, and CSEA is Classified School Employees. Anyways, I got that correct. So Association, Classified School Employees Association. I would have been in trouble if I couldn't come up with that one. But anyways, we have contracts that date back a long ways back when negotiations first started. And the laws are very different when we negotiated our contracts. So one of the things that we're constantly battling inside of our contracts is making sure that we don't have language inside the contract that is illegal. And one of the things that...
So you can't... contract A expires day one of a month. The new contract doesn't start on the second and start fresh. Everything is built on top of what was before.
That is correct. Everything's built on top of what it was before. We couldn't, even if we let our contract expire, we couldn't just say, okay, we're going to have a new contract. The only way you really can get a new contract is, for instance, when the schools in Fortuna merged. Those two schools merged. There's two new associations there. They come together, and they actually worked with Gary Eagles, the county superintendent of schools, and developed a new contract.
So the entity disappears.
That's correct.
That's about the only way?
That's about the only way that your contract
So if you
disappears.
Do have some of those contracts that are based in what was legal then but isn't legal now, you have amendments and it just starts to become really tough to follow?
Well, let me give you two great examples of some things that have come up recently. One of the things that came up recently at the state was being able to reduce your school days by 5 days, go from 180 school days to 175 school days. That's subject to local negotiation. So if we just decided we wanted to go to 175 school days, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
KINS, news. I know he can count to two. We'll get the other one when we come back. It's 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Vleck. Fred, when you're looking at some of the different costs associated with keeping the doors open, so to speak, as you're sitting down going through the negotiating process, we hear, I like the Postal Service, we're hearing... You know what they were talking about, $2 billion by shutting down on Saturday. That's what the savings will be, okay? But there's still $16 billion in the hole. Well, that doesn't get you too close. It gets you closer, but not too close. We're hearing at the federal level, it's not conscription, but it's...
Sequestration.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I knew there were some extra syllables in there. That if that goes into effect... that this national budget, which is 7.5% larger this year than it was last year, will be cut back to only 5% of an increase over last year.
However, the way it gets spun is kind of like what we hear locally, you know, when back when the county was cutting back. It's sheriffs or it's, you know, and you always go with the things that people get most excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you get into negotiations and it's you, me, the table, and whoever's transcribing or filming the event, does all the spin disappear or does it ramp up? As I'm arguing my worst case scenario and you're arguing your worst case scenario and we try to come together with some kind of an agreement.
Well, it's interesting. One thing that I want to make sure is clear, there's no film, there's no transcripts. It's just two groups sitting inside a negotiation room.
Oh, there's no records kept?
There's other than each side keeps their own set of minutes, notes that they... the other side is not really shared with or anything like that. That's it. The only thing that comes out of there of record are the actual proposals that are put down on the table. And then once the proposals are agreed upon at some point, when you come together to that ground where both groups can agree upon it to have what's called a TA or a tentative agreement, that is what you walk out
oh,
there
TA,
with.
Oh, TA, not T&A. Oh, okay. Sorry. You lost me on that one.
I don't know what to say to that. But anyway, tentative agreement. And so then it goes back to the associations to be what's called ratified, and then it goes to the board to be ratified as well before there is an actual final agreement. So there's a lot of steps to the process. There's PERB involved, which is a public employee relations board. So if you step out and, like, for instance, let's say I was to come on air today and start propagandizing the district's position, and we believe we should be doing this, and we believe we should be doing that. If it wasn't an actual proposal that was thrown across on the table, it'd be considered an unfair labor practice, and the association can file against the district an unfair labor practice.
So if I ask you a question about how's it going, if you get too close to the actual truth,
well, I wouldn't
that
say
can
too,
blow up?
I wouldn't say too close to the truth. If we move
or your
anywhere,
position.
Right. If we move anywhere away from the actual proposals that were put on the table in black and white, proposed to them, and the proposals that they put on the table in black and white and gave to us, it could be move into that land of unfair labor practice.
Okay. So something's on the table and you say, but I really think a cool thing to do would be you're now dead meat.
Right. That would be
really?
That would be walking outside the line a little bit too far. Yep.
Okay. So this is like the opposite of the Brown Act.
Very different than
even,
the Brown Act.
Even though there's public, it's all public dollars, which was the argument for the Brown Act.
Well, where the Brown Act falls into this is when the association and the district actually go out and what they call sunshine their proposals. And so what we do in a public meeting, a Brown Act governed meeting, a board meeting, we sunshine the articles that we want to talk about as a district, which is all pre-negotiated unless a full contract is open. You only get a certain number of articles you can have open in the contract.
Just a number?
For instance, on our last sunshine with the Teachers Association, we had salary and benefits open, plus we could choose up to three other articles to open if we had liked. The district chose to open salary and benefits, leaves, transfer and reassignment, and teacher hours. The association chose just to have transfer and assignment open and no other articles. They only wanted, they chose just to have salary and benefits open and no other articles. So anything that talked about language was only proposed by the district. The association only wanted to talk about money and benefits.
Is that normal to have different topics to discuss or to
share?
Yeah,
generally you do have. Generally, the association wants to open a bunch of articles as well, but the association right now is saying that they're very happy with their contract and they don't want to change language in the contract. They just want to talk about money at this point.
So that's not a negotiating tactic or a ploy. It just is how things are at a particular time.
Right. They're a public stance, and they said this in a and the reason I can share it because they said it in the board meeting is that they've worked for years on this contract. They're very happy with the contract, and they're not concerned about the language in the contract because they want to move ahead with the language that they have. They're happy with that right now. And just make sure I'm clear. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
It just is where it
right,
is.
Right. Just yeah. is where it is. Right.
How long do negotiations routinely take? I mean, what do you allow for? Whether it's here or whether it was down south or classified or teachers, is there a norm to say, it should take 3 months?
There is no norm. What I can say about negotiations, I've been in negotiations that have gone on for years. Like, for instance, right now, we're negotiating with CSEA. And with CSEA, we are still negotiating the 11-12 school year. We're obviously well past the 11-12 school year.
Somebody forgot the calendar, yeah.
So they can go on for a long time. With teachers, as soon as I came, we closed the 12-13 school year relatively quickly, and we're now starting on the 13-14 school year.
It's 3:30.
This is Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City School Superintendent. Exciting new things are happening in our district next year. Reducing our kinder through third grade class size to 23-1. Eliminating our combination classes in the reopening of Winship Middle School. Remember, we are the largest district on the North Coast, allowing us to have the most diverse course and extracurricular offerings. Enrollment is happening now. Please stop by the district office across from Eureka High School or visit the website at eurekacityschools.org.
Hi, good afternoon, KINS. News and information time, it's 3:35. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Fred Van Vleck, the superintendent of Eureka City Schools. Fred, looking at the concept of the negotiations, I guess I still have, it's interesting for me to try to wrap around that it's public money, but it's being negotiated by two public entities, but we can't hear about it until the results are done. Where if we took that same scenario and put it to the supervisors or the state assembly or any other elected body, and they were negotiating with somebody else, whether it was a private or public entity, that there would be, well, there would be a stink raised by everybody, and the government would come crashing down on folks if that was ever attempted. Okay. Is it because the discussion of personnel is what the screen is? Is it because it's just something that's happened over time and now it's tradition and court cases around it? Where did it come from that the negotiations between two public entities isn't done in public?
Well, where I believe it came from is something that I mentioned earlier, and that's PERB. Public Employees Relation Board has a very specific set of guidelines that we must follow when we're doing the negotiations process. And what they've done is really laid out the ground rules, and we have to follow those ground rules or an unfair labor practice is filed. And from their perspective, where the public is involved in the negotiations process is when it's brought to the school board. And the school board acts on tentative agreements that are come about in negotiations at public meetings. And that's the public's opportunity to come in and voice their opinion on whether or not they think that the district has reached a fair deal with one of the associations, either the classified CSEA association or the teachers association.
A lot of school boards have on their former teachers, former classified, former principals, former education professionals.
Right. You look at our board in Eureka City Schools right now, if you take a look, we have a former teacher, a former administrator, a public accountant, a business owner, and a nurse. And the nurse happens to be actually a negotiator for the nurses.
Should there be a conflict if someone has been, because I would think if their retirement plans are somehow hooked to things, or just the fact that their allegiances would be different. I mean, it would be tough if I was called in, let's say with radio, to be neutral. I'm going to have my own opinions because I was involved. Well, if I'm now the guy who's the overseer, of course I'm going to have some biases in there. Does that make any sense?
I completely understand what you're saying, and the trustees were elected just to be that, a trustee of their constituents that are out there, and they're one of five, and it takes at least three of those five to pass anything. That's why no one's, although one single person can definitely sway the opinion of a board through their advice, but it takes three of those five to pass any sort of contract or anything like that. One of the things that I think is important with that, and this is something that I've seen over my tenure in administration, is when people get elected to the school board, they have this misconception about how a school district runs. And I think that some board members, when they get on the board, have these ideas that they think will they'll be able to get in and make a real difference real quickly, which many board members have made a real difference. I don't mean it like that at all, but I think that there's not always an understanding until you actually get on the board and sit on the board, the complexities of what a district is. And I think you hit on that a little bit earlier when you were talking about labor laws, when you start talking about healthcare, when you start talking about employee relationships, when you start talking about the finances of the district, when you start talking about the maintenance of the district, you talk about the food services of the district, you talk about the educational program of the district, you talk about the curriculum of the district, and I can just go on and on and on. We have a full staff of teachers teaching every day. We have a full staff of administrators who are administering the program for the students. And one of the misconceptions is when you're up there in the ivory tower of the district office is you kick back and stick your feet on the desk and eat bonbons all day. And you know, the reality is, I feel like I'm on a soapbox right now. I apologize. But the reality of that is,
you're appointed, you're not elected. It doesn't matter to me.
The reality of that is we have a $34 million budget to run. And any company that you have out there that has a $34 million budget has a tremendous amount of responsibility and a tremendous amount of work to do. And when you start looking into the education sector, it's really no different. There's a tremendous amount of stuff to do.
So what are the hot topics in negotiations anymore? I know it used to be classroom size. It used to be number of days. It used to be support staff. It used to be direct compensation. Sometimes it was benefits. But if the salary was being negotiated, suddenly benefits didn't count that much. There are influences periodically. Is there a trend statewide at this point for what the hot topics for negotiations are?
Well, remember, the one thing that I want to remind everybody out there about is negotiations is limited to salary and compensation, benefits, and working conditions. And so when you narrow it down to that, that's in its most simplistic form.
But it's still pretty broad stuff. I mean, that statewide stuff, a cop on campus, you know, that could be working conditions that I would think in certain school districts would be a high priority or a higher priority than in others.
Well, that's away from the negotiations table because we don't see that as a working condition issue. We see that as a student safety issue, but not a staff safety issue. So it wouldn't be a negotiated item.
Oh, okay. So for that to come on, then we would have to negotiate the fact that it was an employee safety issue, not just a school
kid
issue.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So, but getting back to your question about what is the hot topic, and the hot topic generally boils down to this. Every time I've ever really sat at the negotiation table, at the end of the day, it's about compensation, whether that's compensation by release time, whether that's compensation by salary, whether that's compensation by district contribution to benefits, whether that's compensation by personal necessity days. But it really almost always boils down to the sticking points somehow with compensation.
Personal necessity day?
That's correct. Like, for instance, if you're a teacher, as part of our contract right now, and this is pretty normal around the state of California, if you want to go watch your son or daughter graduate from college someplace, you'd have to take a personal necessity
that's
day
not
to
a
go do that.
Day?
Teachers don't get vacation
or
days.
Day off. Okay, so that's the equivalent of a day off.
Right, it'd be the equivalent of a day off. Okay. So because teachers are contracted for 185 days, they teach 180 of those days. And the only way they can miss one of those days is if they're sick or if they take some sort of personal necessity. And then there's also a lot of what they call no-tell days around the state, which come off of their sick leave days, which is basically a floating vacation day. But no normal vacation days for teachers. They're paid positive attendance. They're paid for the days that they're there.
KINS, News and Information Times, 344. We'll be back with more from Fred Van Fleck.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. So, Fred, you are starting the negotiating process currently, or the school system is in the midst of? Where is the current status with the contracts for the classified and for the teachers?
Okay, so the status of where we're at right now, when I came to the district, we were in negotiations. Let's take it one unit at a time. Let's talk about classified first. We're in negotiations for the 12-13 school year and the 11-12 school year. So right now, we're actually at what's called impasse on the 11-12 school year because we can't come to an agreement on what's open. And right now with them, only salary and benefits is open. That's it. We can't come to an agreement, so PERB appoints what they call a state mediator to come in and go back and forth between the
binding
two groups.
Binding arbitration?
Nope. Arbitration is with a grievance. We do have binding arbitration, but that's only with a grievance. And what a grievance is when they disagree, they think the district is breaking or violating the contract, they file a grievance. And that goes through the grievance process and finally ends up at arbitration,
so
which
nothing,
is kind of a different story.
There's no time bound. There doesn't have to be a decision. We just sit around and talk and talk and talk.
Until the mediator.
And talk a little bit more. And
that
the
is correct.
And the mediator comes in and we talk a little bit more.
Right. And then
and there's no deadline that anything has to be.
No, there is. Once the mediator says there is no movement from either side, you get certified to what's called fact-finding. And then you get a panel, which has three representatives on it. One panel member appointed by the district, one panel member appointed by the association, and then a neutral, which the association and the district agree upon. The panel hears from both sides and submits a report if they can't come to some sort of settlement during the panel hearing. Many times it comes to a settlement at that point. And then based on that report, the board can choose to impose. And once the board chooses whether they can impose or not, that's the time, and you probably remember this back from the 80s when the teachers went on strike, that's the time that an association can choose to go on strike. They can't just choose to go on strike any day. You have to go all the way through the process, negotiations, and then declare impasse, mediation. The mediator has to certify you to fact-finding. Then the fact-finding panel has to submit a report. And then the board has to impose whatever it is that they impose. Then the teachers can decide, or the classified, whichever the association is, whether they want to strike or not.
Somehow imposition seems to be the key word. Thanks for coming by, Fred. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck. Join us tomorrow for Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.